You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us.
Okay. You can be seated if you will. I'm grateful that you're here with us today. We're going to be doing the Lord's Supper, which you've probably seen with the table that is prepared before us. And if you're a guest of ours, we do practice open communion here, which means you can be a member of another church and you participate, baptized believer of another church. You're welcome to remember what the Lord has done for us today. And I'm excited about this. I love when we offer communion, sometimes in the altar where you come during the invitation and take it back to your seat, we offer it that way, but we also at times we serve you throughout the year. And I really love when it's a full service and we're able to serve you and spend our time remembering what the Lord has done for us. So we invite you to the table today. I want to remind you it's not my table, our table, it's His table. It is a table for us to come and remember. It's a way to reconnect and to absolutely reestablish covenant with Him. We acknowledge Him, His Lordship. We say thank you for what He's done. Even in the logistics, when we pass out the bread here in a moment, we just have you hold it and we take it together as a symbol of unity and harmony in the church. And the same way with the cup, when it comes your way, just hold it and then we will take it together with the same symbolic move of unity and harmony. So I want to talk to you about our focus is obviously going to be on the Lord and what He has done. But I want to give you a focus on how He tells us to do this in remembrance of Him. And I want to just focus in on the word remember for just a moment. Scripture is constantly telling us to remember. And there's a good reason. It's because we so easily forget. We quickly forget. And I've been leading on this for a long, long time. I think our lives are so busy that we just can forget next steps that we need to happen. And I'm going to throw Logan Smith under the bus for a moment. I'm the world's worst at being in a hands-free conversation in my truck on my phone. And I can get so into my conversations, as anybody who's been on the other end of them know, that I forget where to turn. I forget where to go. Do you all ever do that with people? I got lost in Fayette County one time talking to Logan. And I finally sit in the conversation. I have no idea where I am. And we're just lighting it up, you know, on the phone. And I just passed all the turns. I just forgot. And we get so ingrained and even so passionate about different areas of our life that those things that are really important to us into our life, our spiritual development and formation, our emotional health, our soul care, that we tend to be able to forget. I want you to look at 2 Peter 1, verses 12 and 13 for a moment. And Peter writing this to believers, that he says that God uses him to remind us that there really is a ministry to help you remember. He said, therefore, I will always remind you about these things, which is things of the Christian life, even though you know them and are established in the truth you have. I consider it right, as long as I'm in this bodily tent, to wake you up with a reminder. The reminder here is what all the Lord has done. And the reminder here is that even remembering will stir up the Holy Spirit within you, that it happens, that you wake up. That's the phrase, that to wake up. It's the stirring of the Holy Spirit within us. We know that Paul wrote Timothy and said, you know, the laying on of hands will stir up God's gifts in you. So even the reminder is to stir up the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. We so quickly quench Him and grieve Him, as we learned last Sunday, and the remembrance of all that Christ has done for us stirs up the working of the Holy Spirit even greater in our life. It's just a renewed focus. Scripture often uses the word forsaken about us not remembering. And the word forsaken means that it means we've forgotten. We've just abandoned Him. Look at 1 Samuel 8, 7 and 8 for just a moment. This chapter is huge in my life, in my own spiritual formation of my life. But the Lord is talking to Samuel, and Samuel was the one who anointed the kings. And He said, listen to the people and everything they say to you. They've rejected you. They've rejected Me as their king. They are doing the same thing to you that they've done to Me since the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day. That phrase abandoning Me means forsaken. They've abandoned Me, they have forsaken Me, and they started worshiping other gods. Forsaken means that you've not just forgotten in some little, I've had a brain freeze kind of a moment. Forsaken is the fact that we turn our back on Him. That's what it means. It means I've sold out to another. I'm facing another. And when we focus on the word remember today during communion, it means the opposite. Where forsaken means you're turning your back, remembering Him means you're turning toward Him. It's not just a casual thought that we're dealing with when we remember. It means I'm returning to Him. I'm engaging our relationship again. I'm trusting Him. I'm reconnecting with Him. And as James would write, I'm drawing near to the Lord. Look at Psalm 103:2 about remembering and not forgetting. My soul, praise the Lord, and do not forget all His benefits, which means remember all that He's done for you. Just remember. And we're told this over and over and over again, because you and I forget over and over and over again. The Lord knows this. He knows this about us, that we need reminders in our life. He says they even stretch to generations. Look at Psalm 135:13. Yahweh, the Lord, Your name endures forever. Your repetition, Yahweh, Lord, through all generations and ages, that we will remember You throughout all the seasons and the ages and the generations of our life. We're going to remember You. How important that is. I know in our calendar and our culture here that we have days of remembrance set aside for us throughout the year. We just finished Memorial Day, which is a day of remembrance. And I just want to tell you about my mom for a moment. My mom and dad are buried in Campbellsville, and my brother tends to their grave. But I made a promise before my mom died. And she had planned this. This wasn't some haphazard thing. It was a pointed conversation that she wanted to have with me before she died. Now, my mom thought it was a sin for anybody to go to the graves, to a cemetery on Memorial Day, and her family not have flowers on their grave. I mean, that just tore my mom up, which meant people are forgotten. She believed if you tended their grave, then they're to be remembered. Now, I don't carry that philosophy with me, all right? That's not passed down to me, but my mom believed that strongly. And when my mom had one of those conversations, those last conversations before she went into glory, I thought we were going to have a conversation about, now son, I want you to grow up and be courageous and virtuous and faithful and righteous and all that, right? No. The conversation was, don't you forget my mom and dad's grave, And don't you forgive Aunt Birchie. I know that's kind of weird. Her name's Bertha, but we called her Birchie. Don't ask me why. I don't know. And then my Uncle Ed and Aunt Opal, and they're all buried right there together. So I thought I was going to have this spiritual formation discussion with my mom. And it's like, will you promise me? And I did. I said, Mom, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to make sure Uncle Ed and Aunt Opal, Aunt Birchie, and my grandparents, whom I never knew, that I'll take care of their grave. And I do that to this day. Because my mom thought it was a sin. If you show up on Memorial Day and they visit the graves, which I don't really visit theirs, or we don't visit Julie's parents, and that's just not a philosophy that we carry with us. But she's like, I don't want them forgotten. I said, okay, Mom, I'll take care of that. And I do. I've kept that promise, and I text my cousins in Illinois and let them know that, you know, I've taken care of the people's graves, that I promised my mom to do that. But it's all about what? It's all about remembrance. We have sayings like never forget, and then even in Texas and in the formation of our nation, remember the Alamo, right? It's all about remembering. We've had fun this morning with the team earlier on before the first service, because I put in my notes about how we have times of just remembering. And I had to ask, does this generation of graduates from high school, I said, do they get annuals? And so they all kind of looked at me, and Chuck's older, but that's what we called yearbooks. In high school, we didn't call them yearbooks. We called them annuals. Jesse thought we were talking about flowers. You know, and I said, do people sign their annuals? And they all kind of looked at me like, what's an annual? And that's where Jesse thought was flowers. But I remember when I graduated from high school 48 years ago. I remember when that last couple weeks of school, depending on when you got your yearbook or your annual, that you went around all over school getting people to sign it and write little notes in there. And every little note in there was, don't forget. You know, like I looked at one of mine is, don't forget that you got a spanking from Miss Spires in Algebra 1 your freshman year, which that's the true story. And don't forget our times together, and don't forget chemistry class, you know, and all that. And some of these people I haven't spoken to or seen in 48 years. But all the writing in there was about, let's remember our high school days together and what we've experienced. So the whole picture of being reminded is all around us. And if you look at Scripture, you're going, well, it's there too. And the reason it's there is because our Lord knows how quickly we forget. So when the Holy Spirit gave birth to the church, the Lord gave the church two commands to remember. One of them is the Lord's Supper, which is their Last Supper. And the other is baptism. He said, a church must have these two things. We look at them as events, or it's a service like today, but these events are called ordinances. And he said to the church, I want you to remember these because they will remember me. And what they do in remembering him is they all remember his death. When we take someone under the water in baptism, it's death and burial. And when we bring them up out of the water, it's resurrection. When we remember his body given today, and we remember his blood shed with the cup and the drink, we are remembering his death and his sacrifice. He did command the church with these two services, Lord's Supper and baptism. He did command the church to do these things because they will cause you to remember his sacrifice. And you and I need to be reminded of that, because sometimes we talk to dear friends and even a brother on the phone and end up lost in Fayette County because we quickly forget. We quickly forget. We get so busy. How many times have you even said in your life, your busy life, what day is it? Sometimes we can't even remember what day we're in, let alone thinking about the sacrifice of our Lord and all that he has done for us, or that verse we handled in Psalm, don't forget his benefits that he has given to us. So we're here today to remember. We're going to be stressing that word all during our service today and even our songs today about what he has done for us. So if you're serving today and you're serving the table and our people, we ask that you come to the table if you will. You're going to have ample time during these services to worship, to pray, to concentrate on what it is you need to do, what you need to confess, what some reconnection and redirection in your life. I really believe what I'm about to tell you. I think as we participate in the bread and the drink today, it's really meant to put us back on our right path. That it's a table of presence, his presence. It is meant to redirect us and refocus us. Let's let that happen today. Let's remember in an incredible way. On that night, he took bread. And he took bread, and I don't want you to think they put together a service like what we're doing today. It was a common meal together. And he took bread. And he said, this bread represents my body given to you. And I believe with all my heart he used bread, the simplicity of it, to just say, every time you eat bread, I hope you remember me. And I mean that. Even when they casually ate it, I hope they remember me. And he's basically saying, you need bread for your body, but you need me for your soul. You need me for the spiritual part of your life, your forever part of your life, you need me. Before he passed that out, they gave thanks for the bread, the body of Christ. And let's bow and let's pray and let's give thanks together. Father, we thank you that you have sent your Son to us. He left, Lord, the perfection of heaven. And Lord, he left being attended to in heaven to come and live in this sinful, sinful world. And we thank you, Lord, that you gave him to us. He said, you so loved the world that you gave him to us. And we thank you for Christ. We thank you for his mission, the Lamb of God, who came to die to take away our sins. So we thank you for the body of Christ, all that he has done for us, even in our place. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. We use this a lot when it comes to communion. We use this section of scripture. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. And here's the line. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember, when we remember, it's not a casual thought. It's a turning. We remember him, we're turning to him, we're facing him, and we're thanking him for giving himself for all of us. We remember his body given, and we remember his death on the cross. So church, take, eat, and remember our Lord. On that night, he took the drink, the cup, and he said, this represents my blood for you to be shed so you could be forgiven and free. Before they drank it together, they blessed it. Let's give thanks for the blood of Christ. Father, we not only thank you for your Son given to us, his body given to us, we also thank you for his blood shed. We know from Old and New Testament that you tell us that the shedding of blood produces the forgiveness of sin and the freedom to live a kingdom life. We acknowledge that today, and we thank you not only for his body given, for his blood shed, so that we could be forgiven and free. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. In the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We've been singing, "He's the Son of Suffering," and this cup is a cup of suffering. I'll remind you that the Gethsemane prayer before the cross, he asked that this cup be passed from him because he knew it was a cup of suffering, a mission of suffering. I want to remind you, as we remember him today and his sacrifice, he suffered the wrath of God. He knew the wrath of God. It wasn't a question mark to him. He knew it. And he took on the wrath of God for our sins. And for us, he's a son of suffering, but this is a cup of suffering. And when we remember now that his shed blood sees that we're forgiven and free, it's liberating. We have a life that only he can fuel and that he can empower. No other life but his that he gives us. And we realize and we trust him. If you ever wonder if you can trust this man or not, just remember, he took on the wrath of God for you. You trust him for that. You can trust him for anything. So we see this cup of suffering today is representation of the Son of Suffering. We know what he took on for us, and we put our trust in him to be new, to be forgiven, and to be free. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, the suffering you have done for us and in our place. So take, drink, and remember our Lord. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 11, 26. As it wraps up everything that we've done today, not only do we look in the past and become thankful for all that he has done for us, but the Lord's Supper looks into the future and we look for the beautiful, glorious return of Christ. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." So we look in his past and we say, thank you. Remember, it's not a casual thought. It's a turning to. But we also look at the future and know of the promise of his beautiful return. We're going to give an invitation to you today. It can be an invitation for you to have continued prayer if you want to. It's also a time for you to have continued worship if you want to. And Logan has knocked it out today with the song sets today and the matching of everything. And that only continues on our theme of remembering him. So it's a time of response. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of continued worship. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me, church, if you'll do that. Our counselors, we got a 2-song set coming up. The team is ready to lead you in that. And you may want to come and just be prayed for or prayed over or prayed with. Whatever it is you need to do, you come today. The invitation is for you. And for you, it is whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come. Blessings to you. Thanks for being here today.